My privilege to serve as a moderator for the question and answer panel of the distinguished rabbis who are sitting in front of us today.
My name is
Akiva Eisenstadt, that's what the tag says. And tonight, it was a wonderful pleasure to spend a couple of hours with alumni, Rabbeim, reminiscing about the old times. Some reminiscing about lunches and suppers, with a detailed list of everything that was served in the dining room. And that was nice, it was important, remembering the wafting smell of shalom Friday nights in the Adelphi dormitory. Of course, so reminiscent about the new building that Rav Shaphat al-Hashem Rabbah built, where the classroom of the Tzibur Shlita went from under the speed of Rav Shaphat al-Hashem, when Rav Hashem told you were able to learn in comfort. I remember tonight, as Mr. Jonathan Gervasian was talking about the two paths coming out of the dining room, remember my first night at Johns Hopkins University, I was leaving probably early for second Seder, and I had my sword on the right hand, my books in economics in the left hand. One of the rabbis saw me leaving early and looked at me quizzically. And my only point of my life, I had that, I said, why did I come to the email with my life? I should have hugged. Still working on that. And that's the challenge that many of us do have in our lives, merging from kinds of business with from kinds. So tonight, we have several questions that were emailed in from alumni. Don't worry, I was asked. No names are attached to anything, especially yours. Let me start without further ado. But again, I have to thank you, Rabbi, for taking the valuable time and meeting with the alumni. As many of our men said to us, as time goes on, we make sure our life goes on, so many more responsibilities. We understand that now, many years later. But Kosher came to Rabbi. The first question, again, nameless. We will start, I guess, the question. Should one turn down or take a potentially good job that requires regular travel if he's worried that there isn't much firm height in the area that he had to travel to? Let's see if I can
the derech klal, my feeling is that it's very important for a person, both in terms of his family and in terms of himself, to be as much as possible within his frum, his garris, that's what anchors him. His home anchors him. His medrash, his kabbalas anchors him. And our nisyon is where a person goes. So the derech klal, I feel that it's you can have a situation that's maybe desperate, you can have a situation that maybe is very short term, but the derakal will discourage the person from taking a position that requires regular travel, where he's not going to be in his home environment. I think so much of one's productivity as a frumi is, as a derakal, revolves around the structure that we have in our communities, whether it's in family, filos, Rusas, Beis Medrash, and of course just the social interaction with Haverim and people are integrated. It's so much of what holds us that as much as we all strive to do what's right, it's very hard to be all alone in not something that are not conducive for it to act as an integrity.
It's hard to argue with good advice. I really didn't understand the question. I mean, it seems touching on the question, but if you go ahead and actually you live in New York and you have to travel to see New York, okay, or whatever. So what difference does it make that the office that you work in is a city that's not from? So what? I mean, so what we're seeing is, in fact, Tai Chi Tao, which I think is the link to the question, is that it involves travel. So the question becomes, should you take a job that involves a lot of travel? And for that, let's see, responding and saying, if it's going to take away considerably from the time that you are home, then it might not be. That's the issue involved over here. The fact that there's not a big community in Poughkeepsie that's not my whole life. You could walk, you could have a job in Brooklyn. That's also, you know, it's not a full environment, whatever. So what does it make a difference? So the issue is the travel. So I just get convinced that someone once told me that, I won't say the cities, but he was going to a path of law students in law school. And the law school was a prestigious law school. And it was about an hour and a half or 2 hours away from his home. And where he was living, it was an Irving, Israel, with the whole, you know, the best, you know, the best school, et cetera, et cetera. And in the city that the law school was located, the chinuch was just an out-of-town type of chinuch. Not horrible, but just out-of-town. But no comparison to his. So the question was, should I commute to the city? I would stay in the city that the Theodan Israel. I would commute an hour and a half to 2 hours a day. But I have the best chinuch for my children. Or should I move to that city where the chinuch was just, you know, mediocre at best? But this way, I found he asked Shiloh from Zelig Epstein, who besides being an on goal, was a pekeya hustle. And Zelig Epstein told him that, as Rutsi is saying, that it is crucial to be able to spend as much time with your family as possible. And that's part of the chinuch. So therefore, maybe they won't learn heavy Rashi, or maybe they won't start Gemara until the 7th grade, whatever it may be. But the chinuch that you can provide by being there on a nightly basis and having time with your family, that's more important than to the excellence of the school that you will send your kids to. So I think that's my second emotion, and I think he's right. She's right. Certainly, Brazil doesn't need my stomach, but it's important to be able to be in a massive that you don't have to travel so much simply because the more time you spend with your family, the better it is.
The biggest riot in the Indian of Beit Sidba for the Dalai is that a question like this has to be for the person who has the Talmud Chacham, that he knows him, knows his matzav, knows his situation, and not just take a random call to some bottom gadol that doesn't really have a place, the whole matzav of a person. Which is mechazik the inyan, the person should keep up with Rabbi in yeshiva, or if you live in communities in Rakhshan, there's somebody that's a tire Rabban today, or a great Tamir Chacham, the Rabban of Kihilas, then the person has to have kesher utzim with a Chacham that can guide him knowing him and his family, and not just ask a random question to some great person.
Okay. The second question, again, these are straight from emails that came from alumni, is a question like this, and I'm quoting it verbatim. I've heard over the years from different rabbis and different rabbanim that a person is not required to live below a quote-unquote normal standard of living. However, what is considered normal has changed over time, and even right now, normal changes from place to place. I am sure it would not surprise the rabbis to know that New York's normal is not Baltimore's normal. So as this standard of living continues to evolve, is there any objective standard that a Ben-Tayor should know is not halakha shafically correct, regardless of whether or not it is the norm?
Yafan Yisrael, Israel, all Israel, it does better with poverty than with wealth. That's what Hazal teaches us. We see that in the Maisa. Today, the firm world is Baruch Hashem being blessed with a lot of wealth, and the levels, even in very heritage communities, are getting higher and higher. It becomes tremendous mechayev for people to not just live with their means, but to mechanech their children that even if they can afford something more, to bedafke not
get the scripts. They don't have to live arm, and they can live better if they're doing better, etc. But they can teach their children. By example, we could have afforded an even nicer car, and we're getting less, still nice, but not to feel that she would to be the way it becomes in very, very imperative communities. And that's something that Osmond Wick has to be a team one to do, and to realize that they're doing their children a tremendous service by, even if it's not popular, that some things they'll get less a little bit when they can really afford it, right? Has to be judgment and sacral, but they're teaching their children and no one can guarantee how their kids are going to live or what's going to be, no matter what you put in the bank, etc. But the chinuch of we could afford more and we're doing something less, exactly how it fits in each situation could be different, but it's a good item to use in general in the Mechana Harshvach.
The hardest questions I find in life to answer are balance questions. How do you balance this issue? On the one hand, you don't want to spoil your kids. You don't want your kids to have everything. On the other hand, you have to be really careful that your children don't feel deprived and that everybody else is doing it. And because my father does this, so therefore, you don't want to do that. You don't want to put your children in that modern design. It is a makas matina, this thing called winter break. It's not even called winter break anymore. It's called yeshiva week. Yeshiva week. They can revoke off yeshiva, everybody goes to Florida. Now, I can't imagine, or any of you who are old enough to remember a God, what would a God say to go ahead and call this yeshiva week? It's crazy. And call it whatever, call it the Florida week. They don't call it yeshiva week. And unfortunately, there are families that cannot afford to go ahead and take the whole family down to Florida, to Miami, to Orlando, wherever it may be. So, your kid will, that doesn't mean you should go ahead and get going to debt because everybody does it. But what you have to do is you have to try to compensate and say, this family does this, we do like this. But you always have to try to bear in mind that your child does not feel like he's the pauper of the class, that he's deprived because of our lifestyle, because you don't want to turn kids off now. How do you balance that? That's what I'm saying. Those are the issues in life that are most difficult. Balance. And then you have to be sure that it's that's why you have Rabbi and that's why you have Rabbani. But you need someone that's a seichel yashar and how to guide you in this issue of balance versus affluence versus moderation.
I just want to add a small thing that a lot of times when the kids come back and say everybody in the class has something, it sometimes means two or three people. It doesn't necessarily mean everyone. And people jump too quickly too. I agree with Sarah that the kid can't feel deprived, but you have to really research what's going on. And if it's too much, if you have as a team, the Shnarkite, to say that's not how we do it, And you really spend time with your kids, etc., and you give them attention, the attention is much more beneficial than all the superficial things that you give
it. With my wife, Abba Uta, that I'm on the big chapel of Baltimore, and all the girls in the class want to go to the Orioles game. Okay? What could be more wonder than that? Maybe a waste of time, but at least it's that. And anyway, my shver zichron l'bracha, Yankel Blumgrass, who some of you may remember, a member from the yeshiva, he says, Avodah Zarah, adult going to baseball game was not my desire. Now, I wasn't around in those days when my wife was arguing with her father about this, but he would have slipped out. He held himself in his arm. And there he would not let his daughter, Nechama Blumkrantz, go to the Memorial game. So I think everybody did. She turned out all right. So, you don't always have to give in.
Okay, thank you. The next series of questions I'm going to put together. The first one dealt with the balance of work life. This deals with issues at work. The first question is dealing with somebody who works in a non-Jewish workplace. And he says there's an expectation to be part of the team, develop friendships with members of the team. And besides the expectations, this is also potentially an important part of overall work success and a natural outgrowth of working together with people and mentoring others while you assume leadership roles. Especially true if you're in the same place for a significant amount of time. And the question this person asks is, what is the correct approach on this topic? And specifically when it comes to the female co-workers or employees.
Sometimes be a delicate balance between being viewed as outsider, not interested in the company, the development of the team. But I don't feel that a person, again, I don't, a person to lose a job is not a better question. I wouldn't advise a person to just walk out of a job. But I think a person's ambage is to preserve what I consider the dignity of the bentaira. And as much as there are, you don't have to keep the same standards that you might keep in a base medrash setting in terms of perhaps dress and things like that. But the way a person carries himself, it has to be dignified, it has to be menschlich, but it has to be, again, with the dignity, which again is manenu, it's just not inside. The different ideas, again, I'm just hearing things secondhand from people, and different ideas that they have to, they think, increase the sense of camaraderie in the office. You can't fight the boss, you can't fight the management. But I think that it's nishkeferlich if you have your standards, and you know, you can be on the fringe when it comes to the different things you have to participate in.
I'd just like to add that I think
that everyone that we're talking to that I own tonight, just the people I haven't talked to, is to see how many chashu and they are all in learning and learning developed, and just the mechayim out to see such an oil chashu, that it's important to do, besides being able to learn at home alone, as Yancy mentioned, it's important to learn the Reis Medrash too, to have a sviva. The more times you daven in a Beis HaKnesses, the more times you learn the Beis HaKnesses, and have a Beis HaMedrash where you're doing your learning and you're connecting the Torah, not just to the Yotzer, but Mamashin HaMokim, which is a Mokim of Torah, it's a Chizuk. So when you go into the office, you have starker shiurim, not just in your own learning, but also from the fact that you're in Christi Beis HaMedrash, you're in a Mokum Torah. Your shul can be a Mokum Torah. If you have a yeshiva near you that you learn in, but being in the Mokum Beis HaKabina and the sakhanis of the opposite, you know, of women that are inappropriate in offices, that has to have a shtarkai, can't be overstated, because the Zohar works in such complex ways that a person has to realize that Shmira is for everyone without exception. There's no, it doesn't make a difference who you are and how chashuv you are, and I'm trumps for everyone in every situation, for Rabbanim, it's for everyone. And to realize how chomer that is, ad ma'oid, 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 and to make a doggish chazak to realize that, and never chalila to be put in a matzav, which causes hezekim flowing ad ma'oid, Hashem Yirah.
I just have to second what she was saying. I once heard from Rav Thomas Zal that a person should be the hardest working person in the office. He should be the friendliest person in the office, and he should be have a certain standard of how he portrays himself. If you do those things, if you're always there, if you're always willing to spend the extra time, if you're always willing to go ahead and bear the burden, then so you won't play the volleyball game. Okay? I'm not good at volleyball, I can't play. Okay, you know, but they'll respect you for that. And when you garner that respect, then look for the team player. I mean, you see you're a part of the team. He's there right and early. He's there when he needs to stay late. He's always there. Say, look, a team player, go always there. So he doesn't get involved in that. And all those activities, I think people will be muddling. Yeah, there was one quote over here in one of these questions about what do you do if you're in a food environment, but there's some thin things that are going on that you object to. So I recently heard an incredible mindset with someone named Rav Yaakov Landau. Most of you don't know who that is. Rav Yaakov Landau was a Rebbe, a ninth grade Rebbe in Turin, in Brooklyn, and then subsequently in Lakewood. He moved to Lakewood several years ago. He was the Rebbe in Shul Chanicha Yeshivas. He was at Ish Kodesh Tatar. I mean, there's a whole bit of mention. So the first year I said was recently, and Rabbi Goldworth spoke at a Kinos yard site for him. So he says an amazing thing. He says, you know, they were all teaching in church, you know, and sometimes this unexpectedly, Rabbi Lando would just walk out of the room, he'd go to the bathroom, he'd get a paper towel, he'd get a bus, and then figure out, well, why this happened. He says, when any time the conversation veered into Avak Lashon Hara, he walked out. Now, he didn't walk out with a problem, he said, Lashon Hara! And he didn't, and he made it very unobtrusive. But they look back now and they say, hey, why did he always do that? Because he didn't want to be part of, you know, Avak Lashon Hara. Now, listen, we're talking about our name and the Yeshiva Territory. We're not talking about Kumbhav Lashon Hara. We're talking about Avak Lashon Hara. But it wasn't, when he healed, that wasn't right. So very, very subtly, without noticing, was about to come out. He stood his ground. And that's how everybody has to do something going on there that not with you. Ha-ha. So don't get on a table and start shying, but you don't have to be part of that. And the other thing that I would like to add is that there's a wonderful sefer which I've been learning with my shir in yeshiva for almost the last year. It's called Ben Aliyah B'Leila Ma'Parnasa. It's written by a rabbi in Detroit, Rabbi Klein. And he's a rabbi, I don't know personally, but it is an excellent sefer. It's a manual for each and every one of you of how to deal with all these nisyonos. How to deal with women, how to deal with yichud, how to deal with shaking hands, how to deal with the team player. Mamash from Aleph to Tov. It's written in Lashon Kodesh, it's easy Hebrew, and I really recommend, I mean, the Mamash almost finished, we've been learning it for a year. You know, most of the guys in my shir are going to go out into the Olam HaParnasa. So how does the Ben Aliyah go ahead and keep his Madrega? And it's very easy to slip. I recommend highly that you should get a hold of the Sefer. It's been reprinted, and it's an excellent guide for every Ben Aliyah Olam HaParnasa.
The next question is from an alumnus. He asked like this, number 7. There seems to be a prevalent practice to get brachos or haskamos from the kubalim for success in business, and to get brachos or haskamos from the kubalim about a specific deal. Is this a...
Do ask Talmidei Chachamim to daven when we have the Torah. But I think that people are looking for the quick fix and the guarantee. There are no guarantees and there's no quick fix. You don't start by checking your mezuzahs. I think that what the Rebbe Shalom wants is a yid should turn to him with his own tefillahs, with his own davening, with his own stucco, with his own gemilas chesed. Everything that we can do for ourselves is the biggest source. We turn to Talmidei Chachamim and Esav Tzairev for a bracha. We believe that the Talmud Chacham has a kayach in his brachas, but it's not a replacement for our avodah. The Rebbe Shalom doesn't want that should be instead of the individual person turning to the Rishon and becoming better. The person who wants a schus in his parnasa, that he should have haslach in his parnasa. Chazal tell us the kayach of asen b'shul shetis asher. Chazal tell us these are schulays which work. So if Chazal tell us that certain things are leil per seyin by lam hazeh, so read the Mishnah carefully, and the Mishnah has a list of things that a person can try to be misas again. So I'm not discouraging going to Talmidei Chachamim to ask for brachas, but it's not instead of one's improvement in his own avodah.
Is there a difference between men and women in regards to schools? Or Are those, all the answers that the Rosh Hashiva gave apply to women as well?
Women, they're also Jewish.
They seem to be more in touch with it, from what I see. Love that.
Yeah, but we have that's not our way.
Okay, we have time for one more question. I think this question focuses on the state of Kailul and the yeshivas nowadays, and the question goes as this, it's number 9. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes in the tshuva that if only is Kailul, because they are concerned with satisfying the opinion of the Rambam, that one should not take money from the tzibur, and that's atzas yetzer. Therefore, one should stay in Kailul and learn. He writes that we are in the Eslas as Hashem, a fairy to Esecha. Since religious observers, Yiddishkeit will only survive in such a system. This is the question. Is it possible, or maybe likely, that Rav Moshe Feinstein such a thing in his days, when Torah learning in America was not as vast as it is today, that nowadays there is room for someone to be concerned with the opinion of the Rambam?
Someone
is
that there's never been so many Kailin in the belt like there is today. And Ryan Lane answered, and there's never been as much for money in the world as there is today, too. Zel umazel also begin, and the more Kailin there is, the better off you are. And that is the rest of school book than anything else. Is more and more and more people learning Kailin. If they're shy to it and they're steiging and they're really growing, that's it's an Asher Dorah to the Wald of Gazach, and anyone can be man and healthy, or the Emes is steiging, the Emes is growing, it's a double life, nothing has changed. We need more and more Torah to develop, and that will bring the Yeshua of Hashem.
The public spying rights in the very bottom about taking money to be supported to learn, and he writes there that the face loss is Losha Professor Seba. There's no question that some people are more productive than others, but the concept of being supported to learn while a person is learning, even Bizman Hazeb, Baruch Hashem has been a rebuild of Light Day Taira, Klai Yisrael needs it. The more Torah that's learned is beneficial, not only because of the schos of the limud haTorah at the moment, but the homes that are created by people who have the opportunity to be supported and to learn whatever number of years they can, it affects the person, it affects what kind of home he's going to build, and that's ultimately Klai Yisrael's future. So I don't, again, I'm just repeating what Chavis Chaim writes. He's discussing what was relevant in his time. I think even his mandenu, the life being supported to learn, whether it's Evan Hamarga, Evan Hamamit, but it's a schus for them, it's a schus for Klal Yisrael's future.
Okay, again, thank you to the Rabbi Rebbeinu, thank you to the Yeshiva, and also Yeshiva, thank you all for coming and listening. Have a great night.